Hello, Andy.
Hi, Linda.
I'm sitting on a park bench.
Is the weather nice there? That's not fair. It's pouring down here. It's a super gross day.
It's been threatening to rain all day long. I would not say it is nice.
Well, here they're following through on the threats. I hear birds chirping behind you, though. It sounds idyllic, Linda.
Man, these birds have been crazy for the last couple days.
Oh, yeah, the birds popping off? Tell me, what are they doing?
They're popping off. Like, this morning, I had one of those mornings where I woke up at, like, 3 or 4 and just couldn't get back to sleep for hours. And,
yeah, welcome to being old. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and I heard the first, like, early birds, the first ones that wake up in the morning, and they're really intense.
They got a lot to say. They're announcing the beginning of a brand new day, Linda.
It is a day. It is a day.
I'm currently combating the birds in my neighborhood because we have like a dumpy roof over the back of our back door, like an overhang kind of roof thing that we are getting rid of in the coming weeks. But every year, birds try and make nests in this little roof. And I'm out there like, no, don't make a nest here because we're going to destroy this thing. And your nest is going to go with it. But they just keep putting garbage and sticks on the rafters of this roof. And I have to go and knock them off every day.
I love bird nests and how they always artfully incorporate garbage.
Bird nests are
into
great.
Their homes. They really are.
Birds are
I remember
wild.
When I was a kid, like going and tracking down bird nests and just fascinated
them
by
down?
Them. Yeah, I would like look at
Did
all
they evade
the trees.
You?
We had a really big like wooded area behind our house, and I would just go and look for bird nests and try to keep track of them and see if I could see the mama birds and stuff. But one time, I was like, "Ooh, I think I can reach that nest." And my curiosity got the best of me, and I took the nest out of the tree. And there was an egg in it, and my mom scolded me, and she said, "I just killed that baby."
Harsh.
It was so harsh.
That's pretty harsh. That's really going to weigh on you.
I know. So young.
Did you like to capture little bugs and stuff and critters when you were a child?
Not as much critters, but worms were cool. Any type of animal I was obsessed with. Baby birds and squirrels.
But you weren't capturing them. I had a phase where I was very big into getting caterpillars and spiders and salamanders and putting them in jars with holes poked in the top for a couple days. And then releasing them back into the wild. No, most of them did not die under my care in my memory. Maybe I've blocked some of it out.
Until your mom flushed them down the toilet.
No, I had like, I had a couple of those, you know, those like plastic containers you might see like a hermit crab in at the beach where it's got like a clear rectangular plastic bottom and then a cool color plastic lid with like a little clear door on top to put the thing in and out, and it's got ventilation. I would put all kinds of stuff in there. It was fun to put caterpillars in there and wait for them to turn into beautiful butterflies and then release them. That was fun.
Aww, very cute.
Yeah.
Maybe I remember cool. We went to this like swampy area in an island in Georgia when I was in fifth grade. And part of the trip was like taking a hermit crab or something like back to the classroom. And then it became the class pet. And that's what I think of when I think of those little plastic cubes.
Yeah.
Takes me back.
Those big cages with like a gazillion hermit crabs in them on the boardwalks really upset me.
Really?
Yeah. Like the people that have the hermit crab vendors and they've like painted all their shells and shit. And they just
that's sad.
You know, one of those like chicken wire walls that's just covered in nothing but hermit crabs.
It's
very upsetting. Very upsetting.
Yeah. Oh, Andy, I can announce my big news today.
Oh, you can finally announce?
I'm in between jobs, and I don't have to work today.
You don't have to work for a while. You have to work
for
a minute.
Dude, this is what I hate about capitalism, is that
the not working part is what you hate about capitalism? You got it all fucked up, bro. You got it backwards.
The fact that you're like, you've got a while, and like that's what everyone's been saying, and it's like 2.5 weeks. Like, I have like 2.5 weeks.
I thought it was like 3 weeks. Maybe I was misremembering.
No, it's 2.5. But
it's not that long.
Last night I was like worried that I wasn't going to be as rested as I need to be. And I'm like, oh, no.
You just got to take a lot of baths, sleep in.
I just took a bath.
See? You know what's up. You know what's good.
Here's what I'll say.
I agree with you. 2.5 weeks, not that long of a time. It's depressing that everyone's first reaction is, wow, that's a really long break. I will also say, I have not had a 2.5 week break in the 10 years that I've been working.
Oh my God. Have you never taken like a 3 week vacation?
No. No, only ever taken like maybe a week and a half is like the longest vacation I've taken.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should take more time off, Andy.
I probably should. I think everyone should. I agree. Yeah, I've never had that long in a row off. And this is one of those things where like I can't. This is the kind of thing you do all the time. You move around jobs. You're very mobile woman with a very lively career. And I don't know what it's like to be in between jobs. I don't even know what it's like to apply for a job, Linda. And so...
you're so lucky.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a grass is always greener situation. I think, everything's got its pros and cons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about this interregnum?
I feel good about it, and I was thinking about how I wanted to communicate my my big job switch, and because I've done the thing in the past where I'm like, some personal news, this will be my last week at such and such company, and then like personal news, I have joined the team at such and such company. I've done those things in the past, and a few times, the minute I join the company, I'm like, oh no, this isn't going to be good. and I have to quit within a couple of months because I've gotten myself into a situation where this is what's so hard about hiring. And like, I talk to a lot of people who are in the hiring process, and a common thread that I hear from everyone is, I have no idea what it's like to work at this place. Like, even after the countless interviews and the copious hours spent like talking to people, it's still incredibly difficult to actually get a feel for what it's like on the other side.
It's kind of impossible, I think. And I've felt this from the other side. I'm sure maybe you have too in the process of hiring. Like, I feel like no amount of interviews really gives you a sense of what it's like working with somebody. And for us too, like, you know, we do not hire lightly, I guess is the way to put it. So like, I would not hire somebody with the expectation or plan to like, oh, if this doesn't work out in a month or two, we'll just like let him go. Like, we kind of see it as much more of a commitment. And so it's really hard to make that commitment sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So because of all of that, I don't like to do the whole like big public announcement thing, especially with everything that's going on in the world right now. It's like, who fucking cares? I had a job and now I have a new job.
Those announcements always struck me as a little bit masturbatory. It's like, you just want a bunch of likes and retweets and congratulations, which is totally fine to want, but
there's
not actually a real reason why you need to tell everybody that you're starting a new chapter in your career. No practical point to that.
There are some people, like some women who I follow, who've like worked really hard to get to a certain point in their career, and like they like want to celebrate that, and that I'm like all about it.
Absolutely.
I think it's so great. And but
hey, I said it was masturbatory, but I think masturbation's great. Everybody should masturbate. Go for it.
Ew, stop talking about masturbation. I'm trying to talk about the accomplishments of women.
Okay, well,
jeez, Andy.
Stop being sex negative, Linda. And saying it's gross. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'll stop. You go ahead. Talk about the accomplishments of women.
It's okay, but I totally agree, especially when I, you know, when it's from, like, a white dude who's already very, like, they're going to be fucking fine. And you're like, cool, so you were fine, and now you're going to be even more fine. I'm glad to know about this now.
There's a couple people I can picture in my mind specifically, and I wonder if any of these people overlap with the people you're thinking of, where it's like, you had some big prestigious job. You tweeted and wrote an article ceremoniously about leaving that job and starting your own agency or like consulting company. And then literally 90 days later or 2 months later, you're joining some other big job and tweeting about how great and exciting it is to have some new big job. And it's like, just do your thing. Stop. Stop walking down the street shouting about how cool and great you are.
You don't need to evangelize. You don't need to get people on your side. If you have good friends, they'll know.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did like want to talk to you about it on the podcast because I like to talk about all the stuff in between. It's like, I don't want to talk negatively about former employer, future employer, whatever. It's all kind of the same. I'm starting to think of tech as like basically a really big college campus, and you're kind of just going to a different building on campus. Because I think most of these companies, when they're at a certain size, they all have the same shit. They all have the same, like, they all have their own issues. They all have their own drama and politics and whatever.
Every dorm's got a clown that's going to be running up and down the hallways at 2 a.m.
And they've got an RA. He's just there to spoil all the fun.
Spoil sport.
And so I'm really sorry that I got on your ass about the masturbation comments, Andy. I just want to say that right now. I was being a real RA in that moment.
Hey, Linda, you don't have to be really sorry, but I appreciate you saying that. I hear your apology. I validate it.
All right.
What can I say? I'm disgusting. I'm sorry.
You're not disgusting. But yeah, so I don't want to, like, so I was at Help Scout. I left Help Scout. I'm going to Webflow, and I will work at Webflow. And I see it as just, like, crossing the campus path. You know, like, all the same, all of the same stuff exists in this industry. So I still feel like I'm doing the same work. Like, I'm starting to kind of solidify what it is that I do and what I'm passionate about. And, like, those things are, like, brand and people. And
yeah. Well, I think that speaks to your experience, the fact that you feel like you're crossing this campus, as you're describing. I think people that are earlier in their careers would not describe that. They would probably describe a sense of fear and anxiety about starting a new thing, and, like, it was a big unknown. And I think it speaks to your, you know, your great experience you've had in your career, that you know kind of what you're getting yourself into. You know that you're ready to take on this challenge, and it's not going to be anything radically different than what you've done in the past. And yeah, I'm sure you're going to do great.
Yeah, it'll be same but different, but also same. And, I've also worked with people multiple times in the past where, like, I've had a colleague or a couple of colleagues from MailChimp that I ended up working with at Dropbox, and then some people there that I worked with at Wano. And then you're just, like, everyone's just hopping around, doing their own thing. So.
That definitely would contribute to the campus feeling you're describing.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
And you see these people at the conferences, and, you know, it's, like, the same cast of characters, and... just, like, deciding how I want to contribute to it right now, because I think that for a while I was, like, really hard on myself about not, like, speaking publicly more or, like, writing more.
Really?
I used to be really, like, I don't know, conscious of those things. Like, should I be doing more of that? And I felt like I really should. Or
no.
When I really broke it down, I was wanting to be wanted for those things. Like, I think that I wanted to be asked to speak at the conference, and then in doing it and experiencing it a few times, I'm like, this is actually really draining and hard, and I think I'm good at the delivery part, but I'm not great at the writing part, and I would need help with that in the future, as we've discussed. And yeah, so I really just am finding, like, my footing a little bit more, and the things that I like about the work, and things that I don't feel like I have to participate in if I don't want to.
That's great, Linda. Now, that pressure, thanks, do you think that was mostly a, like, I need to do this for my career to continue to move onwards and upwards? Is this, like, a professional development pressure, or is that an emotional pressure of, like, I need to feel like I'm at the top of my field and competent and desired? Or was it some other kind of pressure about, like, you know, trying to be a public face of something? Like, where'd that pressure come from?
So I think it's a little bit of, like, seeing that that is what quote unquote leadership is, and that to be this leader person, you have to do those types of things. But yesterday I was having a conversation with a woman who I used to work with, and we were talking about quote unquote the table. Like, everyone's like, oh, you need a seat at the table. And, like, what is the table?
Ugh.
And, but her and I were talking about how, like, the table is bullshit. It's basically, like, this thing, if it exists, it's founded in a lot of, like, white male toxicity and privilege and white supremacy.
Yeah, the idea that there should be a table where decisions are made, that is the thing that needs to be unseated, not the idea that we need to get more diverse voices at that table controlling the majority of people with all their decisions, you know?
Right, and so then in looking further at the table is, like, I think that we've identified these profiles of those people who are sitting at that table, and those people are speaking at conferences and doing all these things. And so I think that for a long time it's just been, like, interwoven in my head that to be a leader I had to be doing those things, because that is what the table looked like. And now I'm realizing, like, I don't have to fucking do that. And
hell,
I can do things, and I can do things my way, and maybe my way is a little bit more, like, in the background, I think that there are parts of my job that I'm really good at, and there are things that I'd rather not participate in. And like, I think that it's totally okay to kind of forge my own path there. So I'm feeling like really empowered right now about those things, just because of, you know, and leaving and hearing the things from my team about how positive of an experience it was to report to somebody who was so different and was doing things so differently. It's given me a lot of affirmation that, like, I think I'm on to something. And
that's got to feel really good.
Yeah.
Some of the nicest things, some of the things that have struck me the most in my career are, like, things from people that we've worked with that I've hired, essentially, that have basically said, you know, you taught me so much, blah, blah, blah. I still have little notes of these people when they, like, moved on from an internship or a job or something. And it's, like, that to me is, like, the best validation of my work of anything, like, more than any, like, big contract or big award or some amount of money, like, just, you know, somebody that I respect saying, like, hey, this was a good place to work, and working for you was a pleasure, and it made me feel good and made me learn things. Like, this is the best kind of feedback you can get.
Yeah, because if I was constantly getting feedback that, like, you need to change your style, you're a little too, whatever, like, you know, then I might be second-guessing some things. But, yeah, I think that we're in a state as an industry where it all kind of looks the same, what, like, the leadership and the table and all that bullshit looks like. And to be a part of, like, figuring out something different is fun and messy, and I do like that currently. But yeah, I'm also tired. I like I said, I'm like, you know, I have these few precious weeks where I can just be Linda. And it'd be so nice to just be Linda all the time and never have to work ever again.
I know, Linda. I know. I think about it so much. And I feel like you're probably in a spot where it's like, hurry up and relax. You know, it's like you feel pressured to...
Yeah.
Totally decompress on a schedule. And it's like, that's not really how decompressing works. You can't like speed it up because you've got stuff to do.
Yeah, exactly. And so I need to get to that point where I'm like bored before I'm ready to then start thinking about, okay, let's think about my next role. Like I have like a list of things I want to read and things I want to think about. But right now I'm just like letting my brain wind down. And who knows how long that'll take.
It's been a very wound up past couple years, I would say. So I think taking some time to unwind is very justified.
Yeah.
Now, you were at Help Scout for a long time. How does that compare in terms of tenure to the other jobs you've had across your career?
I was actually only there for 3 years, but it was the longest that I had been at any company.
Right. I meant a long time for you specifically, just to be clear. Not a long time in the royal sense, but a long time for what I know Linda's career to look like.
Yeah. It's a whole 3 years. But it's so weird because I look back on certain jobs, like especially Dropbox, and like how much I accomplished in such a short amount of time.
Because you were only there for like a year, right? A little over a year at Dropbox?
I was there for just under 2 years, like year and a half, 2 years. Yeah. And like I left in September and I had joined in January. So
a
year and 8 months, whatever. So, but yeah, like while I was there, I like worked on the new brand and illustration style and their website. And I made paper, like I made a whole product in that time. And like, did so much that of course I was burnt out and had to quit, you know. And looking back on it, I'm like, wow, I was only there for that long. That's kind of lame. I should have stuck around longer maybe, but whatever, I did the right thing for me in the moment.
It's all you can do, Linda.
Yeah, who cares?
And all these systems are designed to burn you out and suck every bit of productivity out of you because they don't care about your like well-being in the long run. That's not what they're built for.
I know, that's the thing about being like a junior to mid-level designer at these companies is like you have all that energy and you can sprint, but there's no one there to stop you and there are only people there to encourage you to keep going until you're like, I hit a wall, I can't move today, so I guess I have to quit.
It always cracked me up that the quote-unquote agile like project management model calls every period of work a sprint. It's like, dog, that's not how sprinting works. You can't sprint the whole fucking time. That's not a sprint. That's not a sprint anymore.
You gotta go
it's
to the Olympics and and sprint and then take a juice break and then sprint and then take a juice break and then sprint for a year. It is, yeah, it is definitely a marathon. And also, why does it have to be an athletic race that only like the top athletes can perform? Why can't it be like fun?
Sorry, Linda, that's not how capitalism works. This is all competition. We must crush our we must crush everybody else in our sector. We must rise victorious, make the most money. That's all. That's all it is.
Yeah, I feel like we should liken it to building a house, you know, or something else where you can make a living doing it, not just when you're at that top peak performance years of your life and eventually burn out and die.
Like I talk about this kind of thing all the time with our clients because they want us to build them a website. And I think building a website should be like planning a city or building a house, right? It should be this like very slow, iterative, you are constantly thinking about the future because that is all there is the future. And nobody's priorities are there. Everyone's priorities are, we must launch by this date, we must make money immediately. And then they're surprised when in, you know, 18 months, 24 months, they've got a bunch of problems.
And yeah, like, well, everyone's building.
I could have told you would have had these problems. In fact, I did. And here you are just, you know, with a new set of immediate priorities that have no acknowledgement of the future.
Right. And that's what really bums me out is that, you know, in working for different startups and stuff, everyone just wants like the Hollywood backlot version of a house or a neighborhood or a town. It's like, as long as it looks
good
on screen, then that's all I want. And you're like, you do realize that this is a facade and it's big. And as soon as it ages or scales, we're going to have to rebuild the whole thing.
Just like the house they built in Arrested Development to try and impress the investors. That was just four walls that fell down.
Exactly. It's exactly that.
Yeah.
I like that metaphor better.
Yeah.
Good for us. So, going back to Atlanta this weekend to see the family.
That'll be good. I know you love that.
I do. And then next week, I am free as a bird who has to, you know, stay on lockdown post traveling outside of her state.
Right. You'll be free as a bird in your living room to do whatever you please in your living
room. Free as a bird in a cage. Baby, I got wings, but I got nowhere to go.
Look at me, stretch my wings from my perch just to keep them limber.
Oh, boy. So I've been doing a lot of reflecting. Today I sat down and I wrote a bunch of LinkedIn recommendations for my fellow coworkers. That felt really nice.
Ooh.
I even asked some people for some, which I've never done. But yeah, our head of product asked me to do it. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I do this? It's the kind of thing that, you know, as a insecure woman throughout my career, I've been like, well, if nobody's writing me then I don't know. Maybe they just don't want to.
Maybe I haven't earned it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So what does reflection look like for you? Are you just, you know, taking time to sit on a park bench quietly and just be with your thoughts? Like, do you consciously set time aside to reflect, as it were? Or does it just kind of happen naturally?
Wait, what? I missed your comment because I was distracted by a bird. Sorry.
No, I think it pretty much answers my question.
What are you saying?
No, honestly, I was asking what reflection meant for you. If you like consciously made space for it to go sit on a park bench and just be with your thoughts for a while, or if it just kind of happened naturally in the absence of work.
Oh, yes. I did answer it with my non-answer.
Yeah.
I feel, yeah, like the second that my brain knows that it's allowed to slow down, it starts to do so. And like last weekend, I went to a hotel in Massachusetts for my last day so that I could be elsewhere when I closed my laptop. I didn't want to do the thing where I close my laptop and then I'm in my bedroom by myself during a pandemic.
Yeah, you got to close your laptop and then huck it into the sea. That's the way to end your job.
Yeah, and so a couple of my friends were up there, one of them doing like an artist residency and one of them.
I think I saw some of this on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm sure
this is
like
this is Kelly up there doing cool stuff.
Yeah, doing her cool stuff. So
stuff is so cool. She's
I know,
the coolest.
She's the
it's not fair.
So I visited her at her little studio space, and they put her in this like massive Mass Mocha. For those of you who don't know, is one of these massive, like 10 airplane hangars put together of art type of museums. Somebody was talking to me in her little space, and I just didn't realize it. And they were like asking me questions, and I thought to myself, oh god, I hope they're not asking me questions right now because I am not here.
You were just like spaced and, out.
Yeah, and that was how I knew. I had just closed my laptop like an hour before then on my last day, so I was like, all right, here we go. My brain knows. My body also tells me by going poop, Andy.
Hey, you know, that's something.
Yep, you
clean yourself out.
Have a nice release. Yes.
A lot of built
no
up.
Stress.
A lot of built up plaque, as it were.
Ew. Yeah. So I think that I'm not like setting aside time. I'm just waking up each day and feeling it out. Like today I was thinking I might go to, what's it called? The Cloisters.
Yeah. Cloisters is great.
Yeah. I've been there once and, love to go back and take Lenny. I heard there's like nice park area up there and just like walk around and do some introspective stuff. But Andy, I worked out the other day and my legs are so sore I can hardly stand up.
Oh like, boy. I've been running a little bit and I'm so out of shape, Linda. It is actually depressing.
Yeah, I was running like a 14-minute mile the other day because I ran after my workout in my defense. So I did like a big HIIT workout with weights and I was like, all right, I'm doing it. I got this time off. I'm going to like force myself to really work out again, not just like Peloton hangouts, but really work out. And then I ran. It was so slow afterwards. And then I can't sit down.
Yeah. We're getting old, Linda.
We are.
Very old.
But this is a familiar feeling for me. I remember, you know, earlier days of my life where I had never worked out before and then worked out and was like, oh, ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sad about how much of my like fitness progress I have lost. It is upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't really complain.
What have you lost? Why is it gone?
Because I mean, I did the CrossFit for like 16 months, which we talked mm-hmm. through, and then I did the yoga every morning for like 2 or 3 months before COVID happened, and so I had like almost 2 years, a little under 2 years of like almost daily pretty strenuous physical activity, in addition to having biked to work for 9 years every single day, but that was never strenuous, but it was at least moving my body every day, right?
Right.
And then all that just kind of completely shut down immediately. And I try to do some kind of home workout stuff, but nothing ever took. I can't just motivate myself to exercise in my own home. I don't have that kind of will.
Yeah.
And so it's been a year of just basically sitting on my stupid ass, and I can't run much anymore. I get out of breath so quickly, and I'm nowhere near as strong as I used to be, and it's just, I don't know. It's atrophy is something that haunts me in all things.
Yeah.
I really get very depressed by the idea that things are just constantly turning to dust in the absence of being actively not turned into dust.
Yeah, when I felt this muscle soreness, I thought that, like, if you're not actively, like, the minutes that you are not actively working on making your body stronger, it is trying to die.
Right, exactly, yeah. We're just trapped like, in these
right
awful
now,
flesh prisons
here.
That just want to be in a puddle in the dirt, and they're constantly pulling that direction.
Let me be a puddle.
I just want to be a puddle of bones.
I just want to be a puddle.
And yeah, it's like you have to constantly fight that fight forever, and it's just as hard as you get older. So
yeah, but I think that like what you're feeling and what I'm feeling right now is that it's that steep uphill climb to normalcy again. And I think that you can make a workout routine and fitness normal. I think that, yeah, if you get back into a gym or
I'm not going
you have a routine, never, ever, ever.
I don't, I don't, I just, I don't, you know, I was doing a lot of that because I was running from the ghost of my dad, basically. I was in a very, very emotional place with him kind of withering before my eyes. And taking...
I don't think you've articulated that to me yet.
Oh, I haven't? Oh, that was 100% why I was doing all that shit. I mean...
Well, I knew that you were, like, thinking about him and his physical state when you were exercising and stuff, but I hadn't heard you directly tie it to the emotion of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the hardest part of him getting sick and dying, was that, like, just seeing the... He had been not taking care of himself for decades, basically for as long as I've been alive and could remember, and seeing all of that, all those, you know, bills come due, basically, him finally, right. like, paying in very concrete terms for all of the miscarry he did for himself over the years really sucked, and I just don't ever want to be in that place. And it's not, I don't think I'm on that road right now, but it's just, you know, basically, like, life is just exhausting right now. The idea that, like, we've talked to no end about how exhausted I am by the thought of having to work for the rest of my life, and I think you have a little bit of that too, you know, talking about how only 2.5 weeks off is not enough time to be a human, and, you know, that plus also having to run on a different treadmill to not have your body turn into a prison that just makes your life more difficult and makes it hard to do the things you love is like a whole other treadmill you're on forever, and it's just sometimes life just feels very difficult. Like, it's a lot, it's all kinds of hard things.
Yeah, it really does.
I cut back on my antidepressant meds this week, Linda, in case you couldn't tell, so.
Ooh, so you're feeling it.
I mean, actually, I'm not feeling it as much as I thought I might. Like, I think cutting back is the right move for me with where I'm at right now, but, But yeah, all that stuff is there. It was always there, and it's, you know, still there. It didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
It just feels harder. It just feels a little harder, you know? It's basically the main thing.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I think currently I'm feeling blessed that emotionally I feel like I'm at a very chill baseline. Like, I don't feel down. I don't feel up. I just feel like just tired, just ready to lay down, Andy.
Yeah, sleep is good.
Yeah.
Tired is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, or maybe, like, not even tired, but just, like, the opposite of energized. Like, remember when we were young, we were eating breakfast, and we were like, life is amazing! We work at our jobs, and our jobs are cool! And now we're old curmudgeons. But it's also been a fucking year. I feel like everyone should get 2021 off.
Absolutely.
For having dealt with 2020. Like, our government should say, you know what? Everybody... Just take it off. Just go.
Here's your salary. Year with asterisk.
Yeah. Here's your salary for the year. And just we'll keep your businesses afloat somehow. Just don't worry about it. Go be people.
Well, Yes, Linda. It would be great to take some time and just not do stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, I've accomplished so much. I look back on the past year, and despite all this shit, like, I've done so many things. So it's like, I don't know. For all I talk about how things are hard, I'm doing stuff, and so I'm very lucky in that regard. But
you are.
It's just an emotional experience of life. It's not really a reality, I don't think.
Yeah. But you're never going back to a gym, because I think you're done with the dad stuff.
I hate them, Linda.
Or
I hated it every day. I never not hated it. I hated it all the time.
You never not hated it.
I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like the culture surrounding it. I don't like any of it.
Would you work at it at home if you got, like, one of the fancy machines?
No, I don't think so. I think I would hate the fancy machine, too, probably.
I think we need to find you a middle ground. It's one of those, like... extreme binary situations I'm hearing.
What I really could use is I need to, like, find a sport I can play, because sports is the only kind of exercise that I enjoy, because there's an element of a game, and games are one of the only things that I love. I love games.
Oh, Linda. You're an ultimate frisbee boy. That's what you are.
I love ultimate frisbee. I played so much ultimate frisbee back when I, you know, had my drug rug I wore every day, my long hair. I loved playing ultimate frisbee. I think it's a great game.
Just do it. No shame. Find a league or whatever.
I just the thought of all the people. They're going to be mostly awful because most people are awful.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Andy, I got to go because it's raining.
Well, it's pouring here too, Linda.
It just came from you to me.
Go stay dry, and then maybe we'll have a Atlanta episode if you're up for it later this week. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, let's. Well, I'm going to Atlanta tomorrow. I'll be there for the weekend, and then we should chat as soon as I'm back. I'm doing a couple eps next week.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever works for you. Whenever you have time and want to chat more. But I am excited to capture this moment in your life, this brief period where you get to be the most Linda. I want to get that Max Linda on wax for posterity.
Tomorrow, maybe maybe you can even call me when I'm at the airport. I'll be at the airport at like early, and I know you're an early boy.
I can get up early. What time? What time is early?
Okay, let me check.
Just text me. Don't tell me
right
now.
No, I want to use airtime.
Oh, okay. Great.
Oh, wait, never mind, because now it needs Face ID to open. All right, I'll text you.
I say, we probably shouldn't dox your flight number is all I'm thinking.
Yeah,
so why don't you shoot me a text?
You're right. I'm not going anywhere tomorrow. Don't.
Yeah, so no one try and rob Linda, because Mark is there, and he's got a gun.
Yeah, wait, no, he does not.
He doesn't.
All right.
He's very tall. He'll slap you from a great distance. I love you too,
Linda.
Whip
his hair.
Yes, he'll whip his hair and just get you right in the face. All right. We'll talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Andy.